Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
We're looking this morning at the epistle of 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. These verses before us deal with the subject of light. Light as opposed to darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We who claim to know God, we who claim to fellowship with God, are admonished to walk in the light as He is in the light. Who we are and what we do in this life is determined by the choice that we make to either walk in spiritual light or spiritual darkness. We all start at the same place. We all start off in spiritual darkness because of depravity, sin, and disobedience. There is some natural light, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But because we are born into a world of depravity and sin and disobedience, something has to happen. Something has to happen to move us from darkness to light. And the Bible makes it absolutely clear what it is. And here it is in God's Word. Here, look at these several verses in God's Word. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible proclaims to us, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him. Now watch this. Look at this. Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who were once not a people, but are now the people of God. You see, something has to happen. You were once not a people, but now you're the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, and he said, and you, that includes all of us, you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. There's that word walk again. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now look at this. For you were once darkness, but now, praise God, You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For you were once darkness. Notice here, the Apostle Paul doesn't say that you and I were once in darkness or a little dark or partially dark. No, we were darkness. We were darkness because of sin and separation from God. But now, if we're born again, now we are in the light. You see, folks, when it comes to salvation, it's darkness to light. It's dead in sin to alive in God. One moment you're dark, and then the light comes. One moment you're dead in sin, and then alive in God. It reminds me of a verse that I've quoted many times. And I really love this verse because there's no in between. It's so clear. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And so, as we consider this morning what it is to walk in the light as He is in the light, here is the key pivotal statement from Jesus. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in what? Will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I also want you to look at this statement, these words that Jesus made, and a few chapters over in John chapter 12. "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going." There are a lot of people in this world, they don't know their final destiny. They don't know where they're going because they're walking in darkness. "While you have the light," Jesus said, "believe in the light." Of course, he was referring to himself because he is the light. "That you may become sons of light." So, this morning, before we look at the implications of walking in the light of Jesus, I really want to just back up for a few moments to underscore some foundational principles. The first foundational principle is this: God gives a certain amount of light to everyone born into the world. Even though we're born into a sinful, dark world, the Bible says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. There are two natural witnesses of the light of God to every person. The inner light of conscience. We're created in the image of God. God created us with a conscience. And then there's the outer light of creation. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Every person ought to be able to look out at the beauty of creation and the magnificence of creation and see the handiwork of God. But because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's the darkness. You see, even though God has given the natural light of conscience and the light of creation, there is spiritual darkness. And here's why. Look at this is verse 25 in Romans chapter 1. "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Look, you could take all these problems today we're seeing where they're calling men women and women men. And they call evil good. And they, as it says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, they call evil good and they put darkness for light. It's because of this sin and separation that is there until something happens. There is darkness and depravity. And because of sin, the minds and hearts of unbelievers are blinded. There's a veil over them. Paul said this, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, Satan, that's what it's referring to. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And then look at this, praise God. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The people walking in darkness, the prophet said, have seen a great light. On those who are living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And so what I'm saying to you this morning is this, as I deal with these foundational principles, something has to happen. Jesus said what that something is. You must be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws you to a place where your heart is convicted and your heart is open, and then the Holy Spirit gives you the power to walk in the light. You see, actually, this has a whole lot more to do with God, what God has done and what God is able to do, than it has to do with what we do. That's where the problem comes. If people think, I'm going to just try to live the Christian life, I'm in my own strength, in my flesh, I'm going to just try to do it. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. But there is something that we have to do. We have to follow. We have to obey. Now look at this second foundational principle. Light follows obedience. Darkness follows disobedience. You can mark it down. Do not be deceived. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For whoever sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. It's just like, it's like a law, just like gravity. But he who sows to the Spirit, the Bible, Jesus said the flesh profits nothing, it's the Spirit that gives life. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so, folks, look, God, Almighty God, in His marvelous love, in His unspeakable love, He did not send His one and only Son into this world to die on the cross, to go through all that pain and suffering for us so that we would continue to walk in darkness. He did it so that we would walk in the light. Amen. And if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're living a lie. We are not practicing the truth. But here's the good news. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, it strengthens our fellowship with God, and it strengthens our fellowship with fellow believers. It strengthens the church. But when there's sin and darkness that's operating, then it does just the opposite. I want to bring this point home in whatever feeble way I can, but I was reading in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 6 and 7. If you know the Old Testament, in chapter 6 of Joshua, man, Israel, they were unified. They were operating in the light that they had. They were having victory. They went into Jericho, this mighty fortified city, and God gave them victory. But then what happened? You look at, as soon as you get into chapter 7, they came to this little place. Probably a lot like St. Mary's. No, maybe it was even smaller than that. I don't know. Ai. They came to this little place of Ai and they were defeated. Why? Here they were. They were so unified. They were operating in victory and the light that God gave them. And then suddenly they have this defeat. Was it because God pulled back? Was it because the enemy was too strong? No. It was because Achan. You remember Achan? He disobeyed the direct command of God, and because of that, there was sin and darkness in the camp. I want to tell you something today. The darkness out there in the world, it will never defeat the church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church when the church is abiding in light and victory, and we're walking in the light the best we can with God's grace and His help. Same thing with America. America, our founding fathers and many have said, America would never fall because of outside forces. No, what's destroying us today? Sin and darkness within. That's what's bringing us down. I have a quote here. I really debated whether or not to put this in the message that I was working on, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to put this in here. But there's a book called The Empty Church, and in it the author says this. It is kind of a hard-hitting statement, but I believe that this is quite accurate. But I'll let you make up your own mind. In this book, The Empty Church, he says Christianity in modern America tends to be easy, upbeat, convenient, and compatible. It does not require self-sacrifice, discipline, humility, and otherworldly outlook, a zeal for souls, a fear, as well as love of God. There is little guilt and no punishment, and the payoff in heaven is virtually certain. What we have might be best labeled consumer Christianity. But what I'm saying to you is this, look, to be the church, to reach the world, is to walk in the light as He is in the light. And you know, we've been talking about love God, love people, change your world, change the world around you. We've been pounding that for 2 years, I believe. And the way to do that, the way to love God, to love people, to change your world is to follow Jesus, to walk in the light as He is in the light, to be a true disciple, to obey and to follow. It's walking and talking. It's walking and talking. But if we speak the truth in love, if we speak God's word, then our walk, our talk has to be backed by our walk. Otherwise, they just become hollow words. Walking has to be intentional. Now, other than the normal walking that I do from the recliner to the refrigerator and back, I try to walk several miles a day. And sometimes when I'm out there walking, I see Rich back there. I mean, he exercises. But I try to walk several miles a day. And I have to be intentional about it. The same thing about walking in the light. walking in the light. You have to be intentional. To help us be intentional about it, I want to take some time here this morning to share three manifestations of God's light. Number one, the light of God's Word. The light of God's Word. Folks, I want to tell you something right now. This book here, the Bible, this is like a flashlight. This is like a flashlight on a dark pathway. This book tells us everything we need to know about sin and righteousness and how to live a godly life, how to walk in the light. It's all right here in God's holy word. Look at this. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. If you want to inform your conscience about right and wrong, if you want to obtain wisdom and revelation knowledge in your understanding, it comes through the Word of God. Here's a number of things that the Word of God, the light of God's Word, brings to us. Number one, the light of God's Word brings guidance. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Do you want guidance? Do you want to know purpose while you're on this earth? Do you want wisdom and knowledge in your life? Get into the Word of God. Number two, the light of God's Word brings growth. I will run the course of your commandments, the psalmist said, for you shall enlarge my heart. The only time it's good to have an enlarged heart is when you stuff it full of God's Word. That's when you begin to grow. That's when more light comes. You want to walk in light? Desire the pure milk of the Word. It says in 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The light of God's Word brings guidance, growth, and gladness. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that you would be absolutely miserable in your Christian life. No. Some of you are looking at me, is that in the Bible? He didn't say that. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. The psalmist said this, look at this. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. Folks, the Bible. The Bible is not a rule book to make you sad. The Bible is a song book to make you glad. Amen. So, walking in the light of God's Word. Secondly, the light of God's Spirit. The light of God's Spirit. Don't miss this. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. One translation says, of His own initiative. But whatever He hears, He will speak. We're talking about revelation here. The Holy Spirit speaking. Whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit guides and speaks and illuminates and brings revelation, knowledge to our lives. The Holy Spirit is like oil burning in the lamps of the bridesmaids who went out to meet the bridegroom in the dark of night. The Holy Spirit shines in the darkness. I want you to look at this great verse, Psalm 18:28. And I got so excited. I get excited in the Word of God. I love God's Word. And I was working on this message, and I really just stumbled on this verse in my daily devotional time. And I was reading in the Psalms, and I came to this verse. I said, that fits perfectly. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. The Bible says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts. You see, it's inside. God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But you have received the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and He lives within you. So you don't need someone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. You see, to walk in the light, you can't do it on your own. It's the Holy Spirit. As we cultivate a relationship, a fellowship with God, that intimate fellowship, and the Holy Spirit is moving and operating in our lives, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in the light. And if we stumble and fall, that's what I love about these verses in 1 John. When we're walking in the light, say we mess up. We have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And so I'm going to encourage you, stay up to date with the Lord. Don't let darkness. I preached last week about don't give the devil a foothold. And I'm telling you today, I'm encouraging you today. Don't let darkness get a hold of your life. But you see, this is the word of the Lord. It's not by human might, nor by human power, the Lord says, but by my Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And then, this is why the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Holy Spirit. I pray to God that we would never quench the Holy Spirit. Try to put God in some little box. You know, we're going to put God in the little Baptist box or some other denominational box. A verse I preached from last week, one of the verses, Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. One final point. So we have the light of God's Word, the light of God's Spirit, the light of God's people. That's you and that's me. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but look at this. He said, I am the light of the world. But He also said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but it's on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Light is so important. I don't know how many times when my children were small, you know, their rooms were a mess most of the time. But sometimes I'd go in there, instead of turning on the light, you know, it'd be dark. I didn't want to wake them or whatever. And walking in the dark, then I'd have a Lego stuck in the bottom of my foot. No, you have light. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And I'm coming to a close here very quickly, but here's the challenge. Look at this verse in Philippians 2:15. Here's God's call to us today, I believe. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights. I'm going to close this message today before we pray. I thought of, you know, here we are, we're going to have Trunk or Treat tonight. We're in October, and then next month we have Thanksgiving, and before long, Christmas is going to be upon us. And every year we have we have a Christmas candlelight communion service, and we receive light from the Christ candle, and we have our candles, and we light our candles, and usually I make some kind of statement like, take this light with you. So, it's one thing here in church. This is great. This is where we try to get challenged and encouraged, but how many of you know today there's a dark world out there? Our world is twisted. We're living in a sick, perverse, reprobate world today. And people are all dark in their understandings and their minds, and that sin has gripped their hearts and their lives, and they're bound in darkness. Jesus has come to deliver us from the darkness that we would walk in the light.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.